T-minus 3. Council Office, Great Shelter, New Kerguelen.
Good one, Billy said, pulling a face at Dan's own shocked expression. Let me guess, Alien FM?
Dan slowly turned the volume up, and the longer his expression stayed steady, the less sure Billy was that he was messing around.
Dan? Billy probed.
I think it's still nothing, Dan said, but a different kind of nothing. It's like, I don't know, hollow. Not white noise or static, more like a windy kind of whistle.
Really?
Dan handed the device to Billy again. The aliens around the table watched on, with Leisha and Sacco the only two Dan knew to be capable of understanding their human thoughts and speech.
Shit, you're right, Billy said, turning the volume up slightly.
He then rose to his feet and walked around the room.
I think this is coming from something, like interference. Leisha, Sacco, do you know if the human crew had any transmitters with them?
We will take you to look, Sacco said. We can show you their image of the second shelter and its location, and we can also view your image of the carving. Follow me.
So decisive, Dan thought, reflecting that everything that had been covered in 20 minutes here would have taken hours in New York, and that a decision like the one Sacco had just taken would have had to get through enough red tape to tie up an elephant. With no cable attached to his finger, Dan waved awkwardly to the eternally silent representatives of New Kerguelen's other castes. Once outside the room, the two humans and their two alien friends set off down a long and featureless corridor.
It's definitely getting louder, Billy said.
He handed the greater X to Dan, who now wished he'd brought two. Dan put it on and instantly realized Billy was right. Even at low volume, the sound was growing more intense.
Makes sense, since they're taking us to the cruise stuff, he said. They maybe had radios for talking over long distances or something. No Wi-Fi, no cell service, and this shelter is pretty big.
While walking, Dan couldn't shake the memory of his seminal trip to Lolo National Forest with Emma and Clark, when following an uncomfortable sound that only he could hear ultimately led him to a first meeting with the messengers in their cloaked craft. The sound and the mood were very different, but the comparison was there. Around a minute later, though, Dan abruptly stopped in his tracks.
Oh my God, it's going crazy, he said, lifting the device from his head.
The volume is as low as it goes, but it just suddenly started pulsing and turned into more of a shriek than a whistle.
Are we near the cruise equipment? Billy asked.
Quite, Leisha replied, but we're directly outside another room.
Oh, well, it's that, Dan said. What's in it?
Without replying, Sacco stepped forward to place his hand on a section of the wall, which soon revealed a door. Dan figured there must have been a visual marking he just couldn't see, rather than the messengers remembering the exact location of every masked doorway. He also didn't know why they were masked, guessing it might even have been for no greater reason than aesthetics. But when Sacco opened the door and ushered first Leisha, then Billy inside, all thoughts of everything except what lay inside the room left Dan's mind in an instant. It wasn't just any room, he realized right away. It was one he'd been in before, with Terra.
No. God damn way,
Billy called from 10 paces in.
Dan, it's the...
I know, Dan said. Belatedly, he walked into the room and joined Billy and Leisha further in. When Dan had stood in the very same spot with Terra, both had been utterly stunned by their realization that the messenger's so-called elders were in fact machines. Broken rather than dead, they had since been assumed to be remarkably sophisticated AI machines. Whatever they weren't alive. Now, though, with some assistance from the unlikeliest of sources in the form of a Greater X-3000, the whatever they were question might just have been blown to pieces. And in line with what the messengers thought all along, alive might not have been a terrible choice of word after all. It had clicked in Billy's head too, but he hadn't spoken it yet. Dan was first to break his gaze, turning towards Leisha. He saw that the alien, still capable of hearing his thoughts, was already in shock at what he was about to say.
Sacco, too, while equally silent, looked stunned. Guys, Dan began, you said these elders were built by your forefathers and filled with knowledge and wisdom, but I don't think that's true. Still, neither alien replied. I think we just found out that these machines aren't AI knowledge repositories, and they didn't stop working. Dan went on, struggling to comprehend the enormity of his own words. I think these machines are radios, and whoever is on the other side stopped talking.